This morning I want to start on a journey, or start and just let us, I want to start with a phrase this morning. Let me say it that way. And I don't know how much of a journey it'll be, but the phrase is to be touched. To be touched. Have you ever been touched? And it's to be touched. And that phrase kind of come across me a couple of weeks ago. It's to be touched. And so I started just journeying with that phrase and just seeing how much there is in that phrase. Well, I looked up the definition of to be touched, and this is the two definitions that come up: feeling gratitude or moved. Feeling and moved to action. That's when I'm touched, I'm moved to action. I'm feeling something inside that maybe we can tie a definition to, of gratitude or thanksgiving, something going on inside of me. But then there's a movement inside of me. To be touched is to be moved. There's something going on inside of me that causes an action. And then the second definition, literally the second definition, and is slightly insane or crazy. If you're touched, if he's touched or she's touched, and I've been accused of that before, of being touched and not feeling of gratitude or feeling of being moved, but a slightly insane, I'm a little off my rocker. So you're touched this morning, and I call it the GMSI effect. It's the gratitude, moved, and slightly insane effect that comes onto our lives. Where there's something's going on inside of us, and something is causing us to move. And it might even appear that we're slightly insane as we follow this out. So it's the GMSI effect that comes into our life. I think I've experienced that before in my life. I really do. And as I pondered this phrase, and I pondered this truth, and I pondered the GMSI effect in my own life, I'm not sure if I've ever been touched by an angel, but I have been touched by the Holy Spirit, I think. And that's the definition I would give. There's something going on inside of me. I am moved, and it might be a hair crazy. But when I am touched by the Holy Spirit, there's something in the GMSI that happens in my life. And I have experienced that before in my life. There are individuals that as I researched this and looked in the scripture, there are individuals in the Bible that I think were touched, that had the GMSI effect in their life. I think Noah was one of those guys. I mean, you have to be, there's something going on inside of him, and there's something that's causing an action in his life, and definitely he was slightly insane according to the world. I think David, when he faced Goliath, I think even as a young boy, a young teenager, I think he had the GMSI effects in his life. I think as he was going, people thought he was crazy, but there was something going on inside of him, and it caused an action. It caused movement in his life, and it looked slightly insane. But he had been touched by the Holy Spirit. He had been touched, empowered by the Holy Spirit. What about the furnace situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What about Daniel in the lion's den? What about that? What about being touched like that? What about, for crying out loud, what about Peter getting out of a well-floating boat in the middle of the storm? He got out of the boat. He had to have been touched by the Holy Spirit. And the other disciples, I wonder what they were thinking when they didn't know what was going on inside of Peter. But they could start to see the action of Peter. Can you imagine in the middle of that storm being the Matthew in that story, and he's hanging on for all his dear life, and all of a sudden he just sees Peter stand up. He's got to be thinking, what in the world are you doing, dude? Get down. Hang on in this boat. And not only did Peter stand up, but he stepped over the side of the boat. They had to be thinking, he's crazy. What about being able to face, like Stephen, face the death of being stoned to death for your faith? And in the middle of that storm, when the stones were being thrown from every angle, and they were taking the life out of him, something was happening inside of him. and it was causing an action inside of him. And all of a sudden, he cries out that he can see the face of Jesus. They thought he was crazy. They covered their ears. This guy is crazy! He'd been touched by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has causing this movement inside and this movement in my action. And at times in my life, it seems slightly insane. And sometimes it seems really insane. And other times it seems really crazy of what the Spirit is moving me to do. But the Spirit wants to touch us. He wants to give us the GMSI effect. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this: "Now about spiritual gift, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts, because there are spiritual gifts. There are these gifts that God's going to give you. As you come into faith in Christ, there's going to be these gifts that are going to be bestowed upon you. They're going to be given to you. And Paul says to the church, I don't want you to be ignorant of that fact, or ill-informed, or not informed at all. I want you to know what this is going to do in your life. And then if we jump to verse 4, which we addressed in a message in February, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Capital S Spirit. He wants you to be full of the capital S Spirit. Not the little S spirits. Cummings and alcohol. I did learn that at the first Bills game I ever went to. Those who were under the influence were much more explosive fans. And I wondered, as I was sitting there and watching these individuals that had way too much to drink, boy, could they cheer. And they didn't really care who they were cheering for. Boy, could they cheer. And they didn't care. They were reckless in their cheering. They were yelling. They didn't care if you liked them or not. They were cheering. And as I was sitting there watching those people, I was thinking, man, if you want to fill me with a capital S Spirit, and you want me to come into life like that, I want that, God. I want to be reckless, so to speak. I want to be off the hook. I want to be walking with you. And Paul says, I want you to do that. And the Spirit's going to touch you. And he's going to touch you. And I want you to know about these spiritual gifts, which we had talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10. It says this: when the Spirit touches you, basically, when the Spirit touches you, some of you will receive this. And he goes down to the list of that. Listen, this is a review from February 14th of this past year, just a few months ago, that the Spirit of God is going to touch you and touch some of us and touch some of you, and some of you are going to get wisdom through that touch. Not everyone, I don't think. Oh, there is a kind of a generic wisdom that God gives us. We're talking about the touch from the Holy Spirit. We're talking about GMSI wisdom. We're talking about a touch from the Holy Spirit. And some of you have wisdom. Some of you have that. Now, whether you know that yet or not, or whether you have expounded on that or not in your life, some of you have that. And some of you are going to be touched and are touched with knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit is touching you. And he's giving you, the scriptures say, he's given you this spiritual gift. I don't want you to be ignorant about what the Spirit is doing. He's given you wisdom. He's given you knowledge. He's given you faith. Some of you have the gift of faith. And when you have the gift of faith and you're in a crowd that don't have the gift of faith, just frankly, you look crazy. I heard spoken about someone in this room this week. I think they have the gift of faith. Because the evidence is there. This touch from the Holy Spirit is doing something inside. It's causing this action. And it may seem a little bit insane, but it's faith. Now listen, I'm not for just going and jumping off the top of the building and say, I have faith that God can give me a soft landing. I understand that too. But also, the law of gravity is also God's law. He set that up too. So don't waste your gift of faith on jumping off of buildings. Just don't waste it. There's bigger things than jumping off a building to demonstrate your gift of faith. He wants to do more. He didn't give you the gift of faith so you can jump off buildings. He gives you the gift of faith so you can do battle against the evil one, so that you can further his kingdom. He gives you wisdom and knowledge so we can further his kingdom. It may seem a little insane, but there's something going on inside of us that's causing this movement in our life. And it's a touch of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scriptures say. And he says, some of you have healing powers. Push the button, please. Some of you have been given the gift of healing. Now you might think, you might agree or disagree with that. It doesn't matter. The scriptures say some of you have the gift of healing. So you don't have to argue with me if you agree or disagree. You just have to argue with God. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. There's some of you that have the gift of healing. Do I think we're going to have this and everyone you kind of breathe on gets healed? I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that manifests itself. I know that Paul had, or Peter had that, and when he walked in his shadow, touched certain people, they were healed. I don't know how that all plays out. I don't know all the rules on that. There's a lot to know. I don't know a fraction about the spiritual gift. He said, but you got them. And some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you have the gift of miraculous powers. And I don't think everybody in the room, but some of you have that. And you can, and this divine touches through a human hand. God's going to touch you. And you're going to touch someone else. And that whatever that is that come from God is going to go into someone else. And it's not just a prayer. It's not a healing. It's something bang. It's something like that. And again, I don't have a PhD in spiritual gifts. And the only thing you'll get with a PhD in spiritual gifts is more questions than you ended up with answers, I think. And some of you have the gift of prophecy. And you can know the word of the Lord. You know it. You know it from the scripture, and you also know a word of the Lord. And when you know that you need to say something to somebody. You just know that you need to say something, and you don't know how to say that sometimes. And it's like, how do I say this? This is going to seem what? This is going to seem crazy. But that's a touch of the Holy Spirit, I believe. And some of you are going to receive discernment, and some of you are going to be given the gift of tongues or languages and utterances. And again, I don't have all the understanding on any one of those things, but the Spirit says, when I touch you, it's going to amp something up in your life. That's what it's saying. It's going to cause something going on inside of you. It's going to cause an action in your life. And just so you know, it might be a slight bit crazy. But look at verse 2. Not just so I get off with re-preaching a couple of months ago message, because we skipped over verses 2 and 3 in that message. We went from verse 1 to verse 4, just like I just did now, because verse 2 and 3 are a little more difficult. And so sometimes when it's difficult, I have to pull it out and kind of set it to the side. And I have to marinate in it. When you got a tough piece of meat, marinate it for overnight. Marinate it in something, and guess what? It gets much more pliable. So when I get to marinate in some of the tough scriptures, it makes me much more pliable, more palatable. But look what it says in verse 2 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. You know what it is to be influenced by something. That's what he's saying. You've experienced it all your life. You've experienced being influenced by things all your life. You've just been influenced by things that are mute idols. You've been influenced by pictures of dead presidents on little green pieces of paper. You know what it feels like to be influenced. I think that's what he's saying. You've been influenced all your life. And so when he's stepping more into the touch of the Holy Spirit, he said, this is familiar. This touch is going to be familiar in the feeling or the experience that you've already had will help you understand what's going to happen. Look what he says in verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. See, now, before we get into the whole list of gifts that we just went through, he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for everybody in the crowd. This is for everybody. He said, because no one can do this without this. No one can do this without this. Now, someone can receive the gift of healing because the Spirit's going to touch them. And someone is going to receive the gift of faith because the Spirit is going to touch them. And someone is going to receive the gift of wisdom because the Spirit is going to touch them. But no one can do this without a touch from the Spirit. So this is what he said. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed or devalued and thrown away. That's what that little cursed means. Or accursed if you're reading from a different translation. Push the button, please. It is accursed or accursed. Jesus be cursed, which means devalued and thrown out or throw out, to throw out. No one can say, no one being led by the Spirit will say that Jesus doesn't have the greatest value in your life. No one can say by the Holy Spirit, when they're speaking, when they're being touched by the Holy Spirit, no one will put Jesus on the shelf in their life. No one, the Spirit will never lead you to put Jesus on the shelf. The Spirit will never lead you to say, I know the Bible says, but I'm going to do this. That is not the Spirit of God. And no one speaking that has been touched by the Holy Spirit can say that Jesus does not have it right.
Come on now.
That Jesus is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, when you're led by the Spirit, not only will you not say that, you will say, Jesus is Lord. He is the Commander-in-Chief of your life. When the Spirit touches you, what you're going to notice is that Jesus becomes Lord of your life. You don't make Him Lord of your life, just like you did not make Him Savior of your life. You're touched by the Holy Spirit, and He becomes Lord of your life because something's going on inside of you, and it's causing this movement, and it may seem just a little bit insane. What a powerful passage. The Spirit is going to touch us. All of us. And we're going to say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
When He touches you, Jesus becomes the authority in our lives. When we are touched by the Spirit, Jesus is the leader. Jesus is never sidetracked. Jesus is never pushed out. The truth is never pushed away because the Spirit of God will not touch us and then push truth to the side. Or push Jesus to the side. The Spirit, Jesus says, the Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. That's what the Scriptures say. This is it. He does that through a touch. What is mine, He will make it known to you. So before we get the gift of healing and the gift of wisdom and the gift of prophecy and the gift of faith, you get a gift of lordship of Jesus. That make sense this morning? When I am when that occurs in my life, I'm definitely experiencing the GMSI effect in my life. And you're going to have to talk with the Spirit through that in your life. Believe you me. Because when a cow farmer leaves Tioga County to go to college and drag two grandchildren and a daughter away from Tioga County, you better know that it's a Spirit leading you. And you're going to have many conversations with the Spirit of God and ask Him, God, is this You? Spirit, is this You? Because I'm hearing what Jesus is saying and I'm doing what He's saying. Just so you know, it may not make sense. But in the rearview mirror, it's going to have purpose. And you're going to see it. And you're going to see what God does. And you're going to see that the touch of the Holy Spirit may bring those other gifts to you individually, maybe to all of us, I don't know. But the Lordship of Jesus will be experienced by all of us as the Holy Spirit touches us. Listen to what Jesus says. If you're going to take what is Jesus and make it known to you, that's what the Spirit is. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. And I left out some of the story. And then Jesus answered. This is when He's being tempted. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Father, my Father, of God." Jesus believed that. That I live by every word of the Lord. That every word of God brings life to me. Every word of God brings life to me. Am I making sense today? Every word of God. Jesus believed that every word of God brings life to me. And guess what? If Jesus believes that and Jesus is Lord of my life, guess what I believe? And I believe. And the scriptures say in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is exhaled from God. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is the very breath of God. And Jesus believes that every breath from God gives you life. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to give you life. And Jesus says, I believe that every word that's in here breathes life into you. It's like getting mouth to mouth from God. And Jesus says, I am in a hard situation. I have been in the wilderness for 40 days, and then the devil himself shows up in my life. And what comes out of Jesus? No! The breath of my Father, the breath of God, is giving me life. I don't need bread. That's not how I'm going to win this battle in my life. It's not, eating bread is not going to how I'm going to win this battle. Receiving the breath of God is how I'm going to win this battle. Guess what He's going to do in our life? If He's leading you as Lord of your life, you're going to have the same beliefs and the same tendencies that Jesus is having, because He's calling the shots. Let me throw a few out today. See, this is where I wrote in on my blotter, "Yes, Lord, it is so." That's my response to every scripture I read now. Yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. Before I try to understand it, before I try to apply it to my life, I come to the phrase, "Yes, Lord, it is so." I don't understand it. I don't know how to apply it. But I don't have to wait for understanding to know that it is so. To know that it is true. How do I know that? Because I'm being touched by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is making Jesus Lord of my life. And Jesus believes that every word that comes from the Father breathes life into me. Certainly I want to say, "Yes, Lord, it is so." Try it in your Bible study. Just start out with that. Just start out with, I'm going to read from Psalm 23. "Yes, Lord, it is so." Here we go. This, Jeremiah says, and this come from a Monday night discussion just this past Monday night. Not the particular passage, but the thought. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Did you feel that exhale from God? My love is not going away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It doesn't matter what you do right now. I love you because I loved you with an everlasting love. Not a love that can be diminished. Not a love that can be thrown away by me Oh, you can shut your mouth and you can go somewhere else and not receive this. But if the Spirit is touching you, He's going to breathe this into you because Jesus believes that. And Jesus is leading you into the path of the Father. And the Father is saying to you today, I loved you with an everlasting love. Inhale that. It doesn't matter what you're up against. I love you with an everlasting love. Lord, yes, Lord, it is so. Oh, it doesn't feel that way. Yes, Lord, it is so. Help me feel it. Yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with a love, with loving kindness. Look what he says in 1 John 3, 1. It says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what that is what we are. Do you understand that today? Do I understand that? Breathe in the breath of God. Let the Spirit touch you. Let the Spirit bring lordship of Jesus in your life. Let your beliefs become in line with Jesus. And those things will be able to be received by us. Our humanity can't receive that. Our logic can't receive that. Our worth can't receive that. Our pay as we go can't receive that. Our attitude can't receive that. Only through the touch of the Holy Spirit empowering Jesus to become Lord of your life can you receive that. Oh, you can hear it in your ears, but you can't receive it. Somebody needs to calm down, or we need to get a better air conditioner in here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Yes, Lord, it is so. I can throw it off, God. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I know it's true. I know that stuff I need to throw off, that past history or that abuse that I experienced or that lie that I believed all my life, I know I can throw that off. Yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. This touch of the Holy Spirit's going to do that in your life. Yes, Lord, it is so. He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now. He's breathing that into somebody right now. Amen. And all you need to say is, yes, Lord, it is so. And listen, I'm not coming up with a rote statement. I get that. We're not talking Harry Potter potion stuff here. We're talking the Spirit of the living God breathing into us the words of the Father through the hands of Jesus into us and giving us life. And you can disconnect. The journey may be long and the journey may be hard, but yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. Receive the very breath of God this morning. Yes, Lord, it is so. Just so you know, that stuff is going on inside of you and that movement it just caused in your life seems a little crazy. You're standing up. You spoke out loud. That's because He wants you to receive His love. He wants you to know that He's your daughter. You're His daughter. That you can throw off what hinders. And you can get rid of the sin that so easily entangles. Yes, Lord, it is so.
Yes, Lord, it's so.
Amen. And if you can't be crazy in here, it's going to be rough to be crazy out of here. I got a couple pages of these. We'll go through. I couldn't stop.
Keep on preaching.
Consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Yes, Lord, it is so. Yes, Lord, it is so. Right in the middle of my storm, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah. Because I know, because the Spirit has touched me, because I know that my trial is producing something inside of me, that the trial is producing something that's called perseverance, and perseverance is going to give me something that is not, that I'm not lacking anything. Woo. How about Romans 12:1? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Yes, Lord, it is so. I don't know what that means, God. I don't know all that it means in my life. I don't have to know the end, God. I don't have to know the end, but to know that it's true. That I can offer myself as a living sacrifice right now. You're not asking me to die for my faith. You're asking me to live for my God. And here I am, God. Here I am. I'm living for you. Yes, Lord, it is so. How about some of the... I went through and I started to say, okay, I want all the hard things to do in the Scripture. And so if you type hard things to do in the Scripture, it just basically gives you a copy of the Bible. You know, do you want the top 31,104 verses of hard things to do with the Bible? Because is it easier to persecute, to bless those who persecute you, or to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, or to throw off what hinders, or to receive the love of God? It's all impossible without the touch of the Holy Spirit leading Jesus as Lord of our life, and us being led by Jesus into the very presence of the Father, where we can receive His breath. And when we receive His breath, life comes alive in us. Woo! So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Yes, Lord, it is so. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other.
Yes, Lord, it is so.
Because sometimes it's not fun to get whacked on one side. Just so you know, if you're going to say, does that mean this in this situation? I'm not the one saying it. Because I heard a comedian say one time, well, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. After that, he left no instruction. Whack me on one cheek, I'll turn the other. Whack me on the other cheek, and that's a game on, buddy. That's not God. The Spirit will never lead us to do that. Does that mean I can't depend on my family? See, we can get all the fine prints down at the bottom. Why don't we just let Jesus become Lord and see what happens in our life? Because we want to know the end. Can I? Wait a minute. If somebody comes in my house and harms my wife, can I shoot them? Go ahead. I don't care. But I want Jesus Lord of my life. I don't have all the answers to the end. I just got one thing, that Jesus is going to lead me as the Lord of my life. He's going to lead me and the Spirit's going to touch me. So that happens. And I'm going to receive the breath of God as life in my life. Whoo. How about Matthew 6:31? So don't worry. Yes, Lord, it is so. How about Matthew 9:13? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Those people are too jacked up. That's not true. Those people will never receive it. They're mean and nasty. No, that's not true. The Spirit will never lead us to say that. Jesus says, I come to love on sinners. I've come for the down and out. I've come for the poor. I've come for those that are upside down in their life. I've come for the broken. Yes, Lord, it is so. Can I use you as your Lord? Can I put you in those positions now? Because now you're believing that I've come to love the unlovable. Can I put you there? Yes, Lord, it is so. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, Lord, it is so. So why would you want to live apart from Jesus?
Amen.
See, we don't believe that verse is so. Let me finish with this one. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage and do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. He did not do that in his humanity. Because 100% of humans will sink in water. But when they've been touched and they've received this breath of life and Jesus says, take this next risky step, come out of what you think is safe, come out of what you think is safe in your life and take the next risky step with me, come out of the boat, come out of the boat, come out of the boat. And the Spirit is saying, you can trust Him, He's the Lord, the Father is breathing life into you right now, go ahead, step out of the boat. That's all going on in Peter right at this moment. Step out of the boat. Yes, Lord, it is so. Whew. Let's begin to read the scripture. Ask for a touch. A GMSI touch from the Holy Spirit. Ask for that touch as you open up the scripture or as you listen to the scripture. I know some of you are very diligent in consuming the scripture. I'm just going to add to that diligence. Just say, touch me, Holy Spirit. Lead me to the Lordship of Jesus. Gift me with the Lordship of Jesus. I don't know if you'll give me the gift of healing or the gift of me of wisdom. It doesn't matter right now. I want the gift of the Lordship of Jesus in my life because I want to believe what Jesus believes. And Jesus believes that every breath that comes from God gives life. Are you with me this morning? Before I pray, does anyone else just want to say, man, I wish I would have stood up? I'm not asking you to stand up. I want to pray for you. So just put your hand up. I'm not going to, no eye closed, no, you know, we're the body of Christ. We can walk with each other. It's not a secret. But if there's anyone here that just said, I'm just going to pray for you in the end, that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not going to do anything weird, I don't think. But if it was you saying, that I wanted to stand and say, yes, Lord, it is so. I just wanted to stand. Just raise your hand right now. I want everyone to see it. Keep your hand up. In Jesus' name, I want everyone with their hand up to have a touch from the Holy Spirit that will transform their lives today. Lord, we saw what it looked like when Beth stood, and I know that others wanted to. I could see it. I could feel it. And it seemed a little crazy. But here we are with our hands wide open. Lord, touch us. Touch those that have their hands in the air. Touch us all. Give us a touch from the Holy Spirit that will bring Lordship of Jesus into our life. And Father, whatever's going on, whatever verse stuck on whoever has their hand up, whatever verse stuck, whatever truth that their spirit was saying, yes, Lord, it is so. I pray that they realize that truth in a whole new way today. That they would literally feel that truth. They would literally taste that verse today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have a great day.